Okay, we're on Makos Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, right about in the middle. Yeah, just about in the middle, maybe a little more than halfway down. We said there are three things best enacted below that Hashem agreed to above. And the three things were reading the Megillah and greeting people with God's name, and then regarding Maaser. And we said there were three parts to that. So let's see what that's all about. Havas Maaser, regarding the bringing of Maaser. Dichsiv, it says like this. This is King Chizkiah here. Chizkiah told the people, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, to give the portions of the Kohanim and the Levites so they could strengthen themselves in the Torah of Hashem. That's the pasuk. As this observance became widespread, the children of Israel brought an abundance of the first portions of grain, oil, date, honey, and all the products of the field. They also brought tithes of everything in abundance. Chizkiah then gave the command to prepare chambers in the temple of Hashem, and they were prepared, and it is written further, as we will see. So they're telling them all to give the portions to him. And we're frozen. No, that's a little bit later. Okay, it's not letting me. That's. I don't know why it decides to do these things. Let's try it again. It's going to give me the same problem in a minute, I think. How do we know that? Okay, again, what happened over here? Tashram, Yom Hashem. No. See, it went backwards. Tashma v'omer Hashem imcha Maaser, yeah. Maaser dichsiv. Okay, now we're going to get to the last part of the pasuk. Now, heviu es kol maaser beso oser. Bring all the maaser to the storehouses. Not that you give it directly to the Levi. Bring it to the storehouses. Vihi terva besi, so that there may be food in my house, meaning for those who serve in the temple. Ubechanuni nobazos, and test me with this. Amar Hashem Svakais, says Hashem. In lo eftach lochem esarubas Hashemayim, if I will not open for you the windows of the sky, for arkiyosi lochem brocha ad belidai, and I will bring down blessings to you way without limit. So this is already going into the book of Malachi. So we see the verse that all the maaser was put in storehouses, a matter that was accomplished through the enactments of Ezra and Chizkiah. You see, Malachi is coming later, but he's saying that you go bring it all in and you're going to see great blessings. Now, my ad bleedai, what does it mean without limit? So this is where Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, Rabbi Chama says, ad sheivlu sivso seinu milomardai, until your lips wear out from saying enough. It's almost like Trump was saying, we're going to keep winning until you're going to say, stop winning, we're winning too much. Similar idea, but we came up with it first. We said, it's enough, enough. You have so much. Hashem, stop the rain already. I can't harvest all the crops you're giving me. So that's like a tremendous amount. Your mouth gets worn out from this. Okay, here we go again. It's still making me crazy with the sinking. I see it's going to be like we had last week. We had last week where it just keeps doing that, and I have to keep bringing it up till it stops playing with me.
Why don't you get rid of some of those open apps?
Nah.
I think it's, should we take out too much memory?
Very little. It's only a couple. It's not that many. Only about seven or eight. Doesn't.
So I have another question.
Doesn't do much.
Yeah, I thought. When you to do the mitzvah, don't you have to actually give it?
So you give it. You're giving it to the Beis Hamikdash. So they're going to dispense it to who it gets. So you don't have to put it.
You
here's the story. You have to give away. You get a peripheral benefit that you can give it to your best friend Levi. So he took that benefit away. That's all. You got to give your 10%. You separate the 10%. You bring it to Beis Hamikdash, and the king decided which Levi's going
to
get it. You separated it. Your mitzvah is to separate it and designate it for the Levim. Mm-hmm. You don't personally have to give it to any Levi. It can be given for you. Matter of fact, other people can even separate for you. All right, you just cannot eat. You have to separate it so that your field is non-tevel. And you generally, you know, you can enjoy the benefit of giving it to the person you want to give it to. But it doesn't mean you have to. And a king could say, I'm not giving you that benefit anymore. Okay? Now, the Gemara now seats a similar teaching. Okay? So, about the three teachings, three judgments that the court did below. So, once we're talking about three judgments, so we have another three judgments. Amar Rav Elazar, Begimu Makomo Sofia Ruach HaKodesh. In three places do we find the divine spirit made a public appearance. In other words, when there was a certain crisis and we didn't know what to do, so Hashem intervened. Now, usually Hashem doesn't do that. If you're not sure what to do in halacha, let the bezin figure it out. But sometimes you need a little ruach hakodesh to help you out with fact finding, as it were. Okay. Let's see, it's
could be the email trying to reach out.
No, it's not email. It's just we're going to do it one more time. If not, then I'm going to have to close the whole thing out and start all over. I know, but that's going to take about 3 minutes, so I want to avoid that if I can. So what were the three times? First one is Beveis Dino Shel Shame. In the Beis Din of Shame, we'll go through all three of them in a minute, who's the son of Noach. Beveis Dino Shel Shmuel Armasi. In the Beis Din of Shmuel, who comes from Ramah. Beveis Dino Shel Shlomo. In the Beis Din of Shlomo. Those are three times. Let's go through each one now. Beveis Dino Shel Shame. In the Beis Din of Shame. Who is this? Dichsiv, and with this week, next week's Parsha, it says the whole story with Yehuda and Tamar, where Yehuda thinks that Tamar acted immorally, and she was pregnant, and the thought was not in wedlock. So he, and there's a bezin there, and he determined that she should be burnt. But then right before they're going to burn her, remember, she had the signs. So she says, whoever had the signs is the father. So the pasuk says, Vayakar Yehuda, and Yehuda recognized the items for Yomer, and he said, Sot kamimeni, she is more righteous than I. Now, how could he say that? Minoyer, how did he know that her pregnancy was on account of him? She was pregnant. He didn't think he was being pregnant with her. He thought he was pregnant with some stom lady he didn't know it was. Maybe, more than that, even if he was with her, but Dilma, maybe, just like he had visited her to be intimate, well, how do you not know? Maybe someone else was with her. So how does he know that he was the father?
Oh, wow.
Right? He could just say, no, she's saying I'm pregnant from you. Then he's saying, yeah, she is. Well, how can you believe her? The answer is Yotzos Paschal. A heavenly voice came out.
Oh.
The Umren said,
Sinking.
Okay, sorry. I don't know why it says time to download. There's nothing to download over here. Okay.
The
Umra and said, Me Mani.
Turn off the Wi-Fi.
Yotzu Kvushim. From me. Have these hidden things emanated? That extra word "mimani" was the baskol. Okay, that was the idea. So Hashem's hidden intention is that the royal line that's going to be from the kingdom of Yehuda should come from Yehuda and the modest Tamar. So he made events happen in this way. Now Tamar's conviction and acquittal took place in Yehuda's court, which was known as the court of shame. In other words, it wasn't actually shame. It says that this was the court of shame. Although shame was no longer alive at this juncture, because he died before Yehuda was born, when Yaakov was only 50, his court continued to function under the leadership of his offspring and disciples and retained his name. That's similar to the yeshivas of Hillel and Shammai, even though they weren't alive anymore, called Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So it wasn't that shame was alive. Rather, it was a court that shame had established, and descendants of shame, most notably Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and the children, just kept running the court. So that's one example. So really, it wasn't paskening the law. It's just Yehuda was saying, well, I know that I was intimate with her, and the voice of heaven said, yeah, and you are the father. Okay, fine. That's all they said, but his retracting the judgment wasn't because the Hashem said, retract your judgment. Hashem was just giving some information that they weren't sure about, let's say. So he makes the information clear. So that's one example. Yes?
But I've heard a story where a heavenly voice saying something is true is not proof in a base.
Like I said, when you're having a halachic question, and 10 rabbis say kosher, and 10 rabbis say not kosher, and a voice of heaven says kosher, we don't listen to that, because the voice of heaven is rendering the law. You don't render laws from above. But if here we're just needing to know a piece of information, at the end of the day, Yehuda rendered the law. First he said she should be burnt, then he said she should not be burnt. All heaven did was say, just want you to know that the fact you're with her and you are the father, and there's no other father. That's all. So they're not rendering the law. Second example, Beveis Dino Shel Shmuel, in the court of Shmuel. Dirsiv, when Shmuel spoke to everybody, when he was giving over the reins of leadership to the Jewish people, specifically the King Shaul, so it says, "Hinini anu vi neged Hashem v'neged Mishpacho." Behold, here I am, testify about me in the presence of Hashem and the presence of His Anointed One, King Saul. What is he asking? As shor mi lo kachti, while I was a judge, did I ever take anyone's ox? Did I ever take anybody's donkey? Did I ever rob anybody? Did I ever force? In other words, did I use my position? Did I abuse the power of my position? He say, Vayomer, and what did all the people say? Vayomer, lo ashaknu, v'lo ratzosar. No, you didn't rob us, you didn't coerce us, you didn't take anything from us. Then, Vayomer, so then he said to them, Eid Hashem, Hashem is your witness, ve'eid mishicho, and his anointed one's a witness, kilo matzosim v'yodim yodim, that you never found anything in my hands. Okay. Vayomer, eid, and he said, a witness. Now, the last statement is odd when it says, Vayomer Eid. Again, look at the pasuk again. It says, Vayomer, etc., etc. And then he says, Eid Hashem, etc., etc. Okay, Hashem is your witness. So, Vayomer Eid, a witness. Now, that's odd because it says, Vayomer, and he said? It shouldn't say, and he said. Vayomru mi boilet should say, and they said, he was assembled before all the Jews who answered Shmuel to say, you know, they're being like witnesses. So why said Vayomer? He say, did I do it? And he said, no, you didn't. So that should say, and they said, were witnesses. Why said, and he said? The answer is, Yotzo Baskol, a voice from heaven came out. Vayomer says, Ani eid b'dever zeh, I'm a witness in this matter. In other words, the Baskol is speaking on behalf of the Jewish people. Again, it's not a court case. It's just he's saying, listen, you know I never took anything. So a voice of him said, yeah, he's right, he never took anything.
Baskol, only a Naveen here, right?
Not necessarily.
Really?
Not necessarily. Could be other people could hear it. Okay. But you had a case in the famous Gemara. Famous Gemara with Rebbe Eliezer. It was a whole yeshiva heard it. Now, but they've seen a Shlomo. What about the Bezer Shlomo? That's the famous case of splitting the baby, right? The whole story with the two mothers, and they both were pregnant, and one's kid died, the other one didn't. They're fighting who the kid is. The whole thing, and Shlomo said, okay, I'll split the baby. Enough, that whole story. Anyway, Dirsiv, so what does it say over there? Vayana Melech Vayomer. And the king spoke up, and he said, Tnu lo asayelet achai v'ameis lo temisu. Give the first woman the living newborn, and do not put it to death. That's when the mother said, okay, give him to the other one. She says, no, okay, give the living brother. She must be the mother, don't kill him. Okay? Why? Kihimo. For she is the mother. Okay? She is the mother. So here's the question. Minoyota, how do you know she's the mother? Just because she said, give it to the other one, doesn't mean she's the mother. Maybe more. Dilma Iaruma Miarama. Maybe she's being trickery.
Wow.
She freaking, listen, let's say she's not the mother, and she's going to say, well, I know if I say let be her have it, it'll look like I'm really the mother. So maybe she's a good shtickmacher. And Shlomo's a clever guy. Maybe Taki should have thought of that idea. The answer is very simple. Yotzo Sabaskoil, a voice from heaven came out. For Amra hi imo, said she is the mother. So that's why when that comes forward, it was the Baskol and not him. again,
heavenly Wikipedia just sort of show up in the middle of things to confirm. It seems like they make the decision, and then the voice just affirms this, or is it the other way around? Did he hear this and then said, "Ah, she's from"?
Well, it clearly is the voice is telling us over here, right?
So, who heard Solomon
so
the voice?
What?
That's what I don't understand. The king hears the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure he heard it. Maybe even the whole court heard it. I don't know. But he for sure heard it. So now the Gemara challenges this proof. Amar Rava, let's go back. We're going back now. Mimai, how do we know that a heavenly voice spoke in each of these cases? Now we're going to go through all three cases again. Dilma, Yehuda, Kivin, Dechashiv, Yarche, Vyoma, Vyisrami. Maybe Yehuda, he calculated the months and the days of the beginning of the pregnancy, and it coincided with the visit. In other words, maybe he figured out. She only looked 3 months pregnant at the time. So he figured, yeah, 3 months ago I was with her. So that would seem to make sense. Dechazinan, Machzekinan. For that which we see that Yehuda cohabited with her, Machzik, we can establish and presume. The lochasin, that which we don't see, lo machzik, we don't establish. That's question number one. Maybe he calculated. Listen, it was mamish. It was probably pretty close to the day, and that I know. We don't know anybody else. So that's reasonable presumption. Why do you have to say it's a baskos? He says it's not necessarily a proof. Shmuel nami, same thing with Shmuel. Kul Yisrael karle beloshchori. Maybe all the Jews spoke collectively in a singular expression. We have often, for example, when the Jews are at Sinai, it says, and he camped by the mountain, when it really was the whole Jewish people, but they did it as a unified front. Sometimes we use a singular verb to describe a unified group. As you have another example of that, Tichsiv, Yisrael, no Shav Hashem. Yisrael, you are saved by Hashem, and that's a singular, not a plural. It should be no Shu in the plural. So you see it's used singular. And Shlomo also, Nami, Midaha Kamerachamta, Vahalo Kamerachamta. Since one was compassion, one wasn't, wouldn't that be sufficient proof? So Lechaira, there's no proof from all the Psukim. Where it says, nope. Ela Gemara, you're right, there's no ironclad proof, but it's tradition. In other words, forget about the Psukim. The Psukim aren't the proof, but there was a tradition passed down. And how was the tradition passed down? If it actually happened. If it happened in Yehuda's court, people told people every generation, you know, there was a Paschal. We're telling you to bring a proof from Psukim. So there's no proof from the Psukim. You're right. But it's a tradition, a historical tradition. So historical tradition is good enough. Okay. Now, we close out with lots of agadato here. Now, remember, we said at the end, Hashem wanted to be in the Mishnah, Hashem wanted to be mezak all the Jews, that's what gave us a lot of mitzvahs. We talk about that. So, Dorish, Rab Simloi makes the following drasha. Sheish me'os u'shlosh esrei mitzvahs nemrelo l'Moshe. Moshe related 613 commandments. Shalosh meos v'shishim v'chamesh lavim, 365 negative commandments. Kibin yimos hachamalek, equal to the days of the year. Umasai v'arvay mishvon hashana, essay. And the 248 positive commandments. Kinegative v'arshalav, corresponds to the body parts of a person. So, interesting point. Let's just add, since it's interesting, let's just add this. The 365, similar to every one of man's organs, ask him to perform a mitzvah. The corresponding numbers of days and limbs have significance beyond numerical coincidence. For example, just as there are organs without which a person could not live, like a brain, a heart, and a liver, so there are mitzvahs without each a person spiritually dead. In other words, there are some mitzvahs which are can't live without it. Others you could live without, but it's not the end of the world. So let's say the mitzvah of Amunah, can you live without it?
No,
so that might correspond to the heart. There are certain mitzvahs you just can't live without. Certain mitzvahs. So that we're saying. So there are some mitzvahs only Hashem knows which one matches up. Others suggest 365 negative associated with 365 veins and nerves. Okay, this statement of Rabbi Sloan is the main source for all the Gaonim and Rishonim who wrote compilations of the 630 mitzvahs. Look at all these Sfarim they're written. The Baal Hilchos Gedolos, Okay? Rambam, Ramban, Rabbi Hudoi Gon, Tosfos, Rav Sadia Gon, Sefer HaMitzvos, Ramban Sefer HaMitzvos, Ramban's criticisms, etc., etc., Sefer HaMitzvos Gadol. All those Sfarim, they all write 600, they have a list of 613 mitzvahs. They all are just a little different than the others. And what does that mean? They all agree there's 613 official mitzvahs. But then again, you could have some that maybe are rabbinic. There's additional rabbinic things. Sometimes one mitzvah is divided up into two. Sometimes it's not. So they're not arguing that you have to keep everything that's there. The only question is, which ones are the, we'll call the original 613? Right? We have to do far more than 613 things as a Jew. Right? Question is, how do you break it up? Some mitzvahs, let's say Korban Pesach, has a whole bunch of lists in there. You know, you can't have it raw, you can't break the bone, etc. So it could be maybe that two of them are really one mitzvah, and somewhere else where there's two, there's separate mitzvahs, things like that. There's a whole discussion. Anyway, but that's the source of all the Sfarim, the rabbis in the medieval times, who wrote their opinion of what the actual basic 613 are. Now, the Ramban wonders why we never find in the Gemara discussion as to what biblical mitzvah replaces the one that a Tanur Mar decided not to be a biblical mitzvah. If he ever examines the possibility that Rabbi Simloi's statement is not necessarily accepted by other Amoroim. However, Ramban concludes that the concept of 613 mitzvahs is so widespread in the Talmud and Medrash, it must certainly be a tradition from antiquity. Okay. So there's many who they hold that is 613. Fine. At the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference. We have to keep what the Shulchan Aruch says you have to do. But it's an interesting point.
Is it actually in the Torah itself where the number 613 actually comes out?
No.
Torah
tells you this is what you got to do.
And someone counted and said 613 and everyone agreed.
Well, no, there's arguments. What are the exact 613?
But not the number. That's not for this.
Well, that's what he said. Maybe there might be something in his hold. There's a dispute about that, but generally we say, no, it's 613. Hmm. Yeah, and then it doesn't matter. You're not going to start saying, I'm not doing this mitzvah now. You know, because even rabbis who disagree and said, that's not either it's not biblical, it's rabbinic, or it's incorporated in a larger body of mitzvahs. That's all, but they all agree you got to do everything that's been told, no matter what. And it's way more than 613 anyway. Anyway, what's a source to this? What's a hint to this? All right, it doesn't say it specifically stand, but Amar Rav Avnun Rav Huna says, my craw, what verse teaches us this? Look at this. Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha. Moshe commanded us the Torah as a heritage. Okay. Torah, the word Torah. What's the gematria of the word Torah? Well, let's look at it before we turn the page. Tough is, how much is tough?
400.
Vav is?
Six.
Resh is?
200.
Hey is? How much we got?
611.
611, a little bit short. Well, hang on, we'll be fine. So Torah is Shish Miavachat Shevi. It's 611. Right? So that's 611. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe. Moshe gave over to us 611. But God said directly to us, Vanochi, the first of the Ten Commandments, V'lo Yielacha, you shall have four idols, Mipiakver. That we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, that's how we get 613. So Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, 611 Moshe with his mouth said, and the other two Hashem said, and that's all.
Is there a book that ties the mitzvahs back to the original trunk of the Ten Commandments?
I don't know if there's a specific one. I think it's Rav Sadia Gaon says they're all rooted in the Ten Commandments. I don't know. I'm not aware. I haven't seen it. I'm not saying it isn't, but I haven't seen it. I mean, you could figure it out. It's not that hard to figure out, but it really doesn't make much of a difference. Okay, now the next mnemonic that we're never going to remember. All right, Simon. Damesmaksak. All right. Okay. Anyway, it's trying to figure out. It's telling the next number of issues that the Gemara is bringing out. I'm not going to go through this. So now we got this famous Gemara. All right. So there's 613 mitzvahs. So now, the Gemara proceeds on to record the reaction of the great leaders of the Jewish people to the people's ongoing spiritual diminishment. Each successive leader sought to bring his contemporaries to the observance of the entire Torah, but having them focus on fewer and fewer fundamentals. Okay, we're going to see in a minute. This passage obviously does not mean that the commandments were gradually discarded in favor of the increasingly shorter list given by the various prophets. You're going to see in a minute what Gemara is going to take. So what's going on over here? Rivan explains that originally the entire nation was on a high enough spiritual level to perform all 1630 commandments with the proper intensity, thereby meriting the world to come. Okay. As time went on, the spiritual level of the nation declined, and people were not able to fulfill all the commandments in the desired manner. They all did it, but not necessarily in the nicest way. King David therefore set forth these 11 ethical requirements through which one could merit the world to come. The compiler of the Ein Yaakov in his commentary, HaKosev, explains that originally one could merit divine assistance in resisting his evil inclination only by fulfilling all the commandments. King David established that through the fulfillment of these 11, one could still merit divine assistance. Similarly, Rav Albo explains that David intended to list 11 categories, each containing many of the 630 mitzvahs. Thus, one who conducts himself in accordance with the principle of these categories would attain a higher level of perfection. Of course, the Ikarim reasons nothing can substitute for performing all the mitzvahs perfectly. Nevertheless, Dov pointed out that those principles which by themselves can elevate the person to a very high plane of existence. Okay, in a more general sense, the change in focus from generation to generation reflects not a change in halacha, God forbid, but rather a change in the people who observe the halacha. These 11 ethical and moral requirements may be described as musar. Musar is the science of putting the Torah into practice. That's a nice definition now. The science of putting the Torah into practice. The Torah never changes, but the means acquired to attain its proper fulfillment may change depending on the generation. Okay, so basically, we're just shifting the focus. You have to do all 613, but look what he says now. Ba, David comes, v'amidu malachas esrei. He established 11 as the basis for the other 613. Whichever one of these four interpretations we gave. Is it more? Focus more on these. Try to perfect these. More so than the others. It's hard for us to focus on everything. So these ones, you have to do them all, but which one are more effort and time should be spent on? So he picks 11, and it goes, and it slowly diminishes from generation until we get just down to one. And that's going to be the bait. Again, not just you do one.
You want really perfect.
But that one's got to be your real focus, your starting point, your base. And from that base, we'll help you with everything else. But clearly, we're going to see. We're going to get to them all. Now, it's going to be all the way to the bottom of the page, is what this whole, not the whole thing, but quite a bit.
The rabbi said we picked the hardest one or the ones that were most attractive?
The ones that are more essential. More essential. The ones that generation focus more on that, and then everything else will work out. All right? Sometimes you get overwhelmed. 613. We've got to do them all, but these 11 really focus, really with intensity, try to do it as best as you can, and then the others will be easier to do. That's the simple understanding. Anyway, how do we know this? Dichsiv, the pasuk says in Tehillim. It's a long pasuk, and then they're going to break the pasuk down bit by bit to come out to the 11 points. Mizmor leDavid. Hashem. Mi yagur balech, Hashem, who may sojourn in your tent? Now, what does that mean already? Who has dvekas with you? So now he's going to list, and also, mi ishkon bahar kachecha, who may dwell on your holy mountain? Okay, that could be based on migdash, whatever. But basically, who is going to be connected to you? That's the goal of Yiddishkeit, to be connected. Now he's going to list a number of qualities that are very general statements. And the Gemara says what each one actually means. So who's the one that's going to be connected to Hashem? Number one, Holech Tamim, who works in perfect innocence. Innocence on a simple level, according to Rabbi Nachman, means you're not overly clever.
No witchcraft.
No, not that. It's like God gives you a mitzvah, you don't start making calculations. Mm-hmm. You know, God gives you a mitzvah, give tzedakah. Well, I don't know. I got to figure, you know, it's when you get older, I'm not going to make money, and tzedakah starts at home. You start being clever.
Yes.
And then you decide, no, not a good idea to give tzedakah. Because that's crazy. I'd love to do it. If Hashem give me $20 million, I would do it. But just barely surviving, and I'm giving tzedakah. What's going to happen when I retire? I'm going to die. So that's a clever guy. A tamim is, if that's what Hashem says, so that's what I do. Be a tamim. Wholesome. You don't super calculate what's going to be. Maybe it could also include, you don't go to prognosticators. What's the future going to hold? This and that. You just let Hashem run your life. That's holeich tamim. Number two, upol tzedek, and works righteously. The dover emes b'levah, and speaks the truth from his heart. Lo ragal lashono, he has no slander on his tongue. So all this pasuk, lo asal reira, he doesn't do evil to his neighbor. Vecher polo nosal krovo, nor cast disgrace upon one that's close to him. Nivza be'ein of nimas, in whose eyes a contemptible person is repulsive. In other words, a Russia is a Russia, nothing to do with him. And he honors those who fear Hashem. Nishbala Rav Lo Yemir, who can swear to his detriment without retracting. We'll see. Kaspo lo nasa b'neshech, he doesn't lend money on interest. Vishochar al naki lo lokach, he takes not a bribe against the innocent. Osa Ela, the doer of these, lo yomut lolam, will never falter. Those are the 11. Now the Gemara is going to go through the 11. And give you at least examples, have an idea of what that means, of those 11. Okay, and I think it's going to be a good place to stop over here. All right, so tomorrow we'll go through the 11 and gives examples of who exemplifies this and what behavior is part of that.